Jesus comes to feed my hungry soul. And make no mistake, my soul, and I have a feeling your soul too, is hungry. Hunger is a universal experience. We all understand the need to feed our bodies. Every day throughout the day, our bodies are hard at work. They labor constantly simply to keep us alive and moving. And because of that work, our bodies constantly need rejuvenation. They constantly need feeding and refueling. Back in high school, we learned about the digestion system and metabolism and caloric consumption. But those concepts are just names, and names of sensations that all of us experience. Even the youngest baby knows the pain of a stomach that needs to be filled. The simple fact is that we must eat to stay alive. Our bodies must receive regular and continual nourishment. So do our souls. The human soul, I'm talking about that part of us that isn't located in a specific organ, but that no one denies is a real or central component of who we are, it also needs nourishment. Like our bodies, our souls also grow weary. Like our bodies, our souls tire out and wear down. The stress, the strain, and the struggles we face in this sin-fallen world do take their toll on our soul. As a result, we experience a different kind of hunger. We experience an emptiness in our souls that needs to be filled. This is not a uniquely Christian idea. Just about everyone seems to understand this basic human need. Take Adele Ryan McDowell, for example. Adele Ryan McDowell is a psychotherapist who teaches meditation and transformational healing. With a PhD in psychology, she writes books and speaks at conferences across the country. And significantly for our purpose tonight, it's important to note that she is not a Christian. In 2009, she wrote an article called 50 Ways to Feed Your Soul. In it, she emphasized the need to replenish our souls so we might have a meaningful and fulfilled life. In it, she emphasized the need to replenish our souls and offers a bunch of suggestions on how to make every day better and keep our souls happy. I'll share a few with you. One is, have a pillow fight. Take a walk in the forest. Make some snow angels. Smell a rose. Sing in the shower. Finger paint. And play with puppies. Do these things, she says, and you'll feed your hungry soul. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a good pillow fight. And I love taking walks in nature. And me and my fiance both know how much we like to play with our puppy. But I read these suggestions, they feel just so shallow, so barren. They seem so inadequate for these real struggles and real difficulties we face in our life. In the end, playing with a puppy isn't really going to help me or anyone else face the serious and deeply troubling problems that do wear us down. McDowell has a few other ideas, however. Some of them, at first glance, do appear more substantive. She says, talk with the angels. Although she doesn't say anything about how to do this or what to say to them. Surrender to love. Although she doesn't tell us how to love or how to surrender to it. And forgive yourself. For everything. Now this one is worth stopping to consider. Forgive yourself, she says. And in saying so, she does recognize that we do all need to be forgiven. Our souls are weary for a variety of reasons. They're wary because of the ways others treat us. They're wary because of the relentless pace, this rat race of a life we've made for ourselves. They are weary because of the dreams left unmet and because we fail to achieve our lofty aspirations and expectations. Oftentimes, due to no direct fault of our own, life beats down our souls and it wears us out. Of course, it's not just the external forces. Our souls are so weary that it becomes by that which comes from within. Discontent, anger, guilt, fear. All these things contribute to our own brokenness that continually lets us down. Our own limitations repeatedly reminding us of our failings. Ultimately, the source of our weariness comes from within, and it comes from one thing and one thing alone: our own sinful condition. Do you remember Psalm 32? Psalm 32 describes one who, rather than confessing his sin, languishes in shame and guilt. The text says, "For when I was silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength is dried up as the heat of summer." His soul was parched. It was desperately in need of nourishment. McDowell was right about one thing. Our souls need to be fed with forgiveness. But our suggestion about where to find this forgiveness is one of the greatest and most prevalent lies today. "Forgive yourself," she says. But that is impossible. The simple fact is that forgiveness can't be found within, because sin is not, at its foundation, against ourselves. Our sin, first and foremost, is against God. And therefore, only God can forgive. Tonight, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, we recall a very special meal, a meal that God himself had arranged for his people, a meal God himself had commanded Moses and the people of Israel to eat in remembrance of how he delivered them from slavery in Egypt. For generations, the people of God had been eating and drinking this meal and thanking God for what he had done for them and how he saved them. But on this particular night, the night Jesus was betrayed, our Lord transformed this very special meal that recalls God's deliverance into a meal that quite literally feeds our souls. That's what Martin Luther called it in his large catechism as he was trying to describe what God is doing in the Lord's Supper. He calls this bite of bread and this sip of wine the food for our soul. This food for our soul is a different kind of meal. We eat and drink this meal with our mouths. We chew and swallow and digest this bread and wine. But in this meal, God promises more than just physical nourishment. Listen again to how Matthew described it. "As they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Food for the soul. Bread and wine, body and blood poured out for many, poured out for you. With this meal, God provides us with everything we need for our souls and what our souls long for. He offers us his forgiveness, his life, and his salvation. He gives us his very self to sustain us for the struggle and this tiresome and trying existence we have. Throughout the season of Lent, we've been thinking about how we could summarize the good news of Jesus. We've been trying to describe the gospel in only 7 words. Tonight, we'll put it like this. On this Maundy Thursday, on this night on which Jesus was betrayed, on this night when he ate and drank with his disciples, on this night when that took him to the hall of the high priest in the palace of Pontius Pilate and ultimately to the hill outside Jerusalem, Jesus comes. He comes and gives us his body and his blood and bread and wine. Jesus comes and he presents himself among us, for us, and in us. Jesus comes to our weary souls, our tired souls, our hungry souls. And he sustains us, nourishes, and strengthens us for our struggle through this valley of tears. So my sisters and brothers, that is the gospel. That is the good news on this Maundy Thursday. And every time we gather around this table, Jesus comes to feed my hungry soul. In Jesus' name, amen.